What's up, cool kids? It's Q from High Five the Podcast, once again filling in host duties for the incomparable Iggy, creator of all things Project Nerd. He will be back with us in a few weeks, but until then, I'm bringing you a very special episode that he and I recorded of Podcast Unreal. So strap on your Unreal goggles, buckle your Unreal seatbelt, and get ready for some Unreal laughs in a no-holds-barred, insane improv edition of Podcast Unreal.
Welcome to Podcast Unreal, the most unreal podcast on Project Nerd. A podcast filled with real guests playing unreal characters, characters they know nothing about until we start recording. So without further ado, let's get unreal right here on Project Nerd. Hello, once again, this is Iggy with Podcast Unreal, and I am here with a famous detective, Nick Makosetic. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
I'm so sorry, Charles. I believe you meant to say Makosetic.
Okay, Makosetic.
Can you understand? My name is Nick, like Nick. Spelled exactly like Nick, except not like Nick. It has a Y. So really, I mean, it's better that way. If it has a Y, then it's more unique, as they say. But also, if you were to spell unique with a Y, so it's more like unique. Does that make sense? You understand what I'm saying, right?
I definitely understand what you're saying. However, I have now forgotten how to pronounce your name because of the description. It was Melchizedek.
Sir, close, but very wrong. It's Melchizedek.
Melchizedek. Okay.
Nick Melchizedek.
Melchizedek. Okay, let's just call you Nick. Everybody knows who you are anyways. You are the famous case detective who most notably solved the horoscope killer mystery.
I did. You follow my work. Clearly, everybody does. I totally understand.
Clearly. So how are you doing today, Nick?
I'm doing... It's Nick. Nick with a Y. If you would like to call me Nike, you can't. So don't do that. But call me Nick with a Y. How about that?
That sounds great.
Yeah. So I'm doing great, Charles. Everything is wonderful. When you deal with cases on a regular basis, it's nice to sit down with a normie, as I call them, and just kind of shoot the shit, if you will.
Awesome. Well, I'm happy to be your normie today. And obviously, the reason we have you on is, as I mentioned, you are the famous case detective. And the Daily Detective, let us know, is an online news source that we follow closely and is where we picked you up and wanted to talk to you about your unique way of solving cases, and again, specifically the horoscope killer mystery. If I was reading that correctly, you solve cases using your nose.
Yes, I was about to say that is probably what you were going to say, because I'm a detective. I could smell the perspiration as you were thinking of what to say. It's really my sensational sense of smell that helps me with all of these cases. As you know, I caught the horoscope killer by smelling the ink that he used to write the letters. He was a very prolific writer. He liked to write to the news outlets to let them know when he was going to do a killing, as the professionals say. And so when he would do these killings, he would write these notes that were kind of like, na 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 boo boo, you can't catch me kind of scenarios. And they did, though. They caught him. And by they, I mean me, because I'm the only one. I'm the only one who's actually getting work done in regards to solving famous mysteries.
All right. That's very notable and very interesting.
Greg, I do have a question for you. Is it okay if I have a drink while we're recording the podcast? I feel parched. As you can understand, with a nose like mine, it's very, very sensitive. So it's important that I only drink very few aromatic beverages, most of which is orange juice. Actually, all of which with is orange juice. So I'm just going to have a big glass of orange juice. Hold on 1 second.
So Nick, I was going to ask, what it is you're drinking? So it is just orange juice? Did you spike the orange juice?
I did not. I find that drinking alcohol, imbibing alcohol, if you will, once again, it's a professional thing. When you imbibe alcohol, it tends to lower your senses. but I prefer to stay synth-full, if you will.
All right. Makes complete sense. I will take note of that and have a glass of orange juice myself.
Craig, I suggest you do orange juice every single day. It's great. It makes you feel good. As they say, vitamin C helps you catch killers. So,
All right. Perfect. Well, why don't you give us a little background story of what got you into being a detective, basically?
Well, I mean, like I talk with my therapist quite often, my childhood was pretty uneventful, honestly. It was just kind of your normal mother, father scenario. It was kind of just, you know, normal. I would come home. I would do all of my siblings' homework. They never went to school. I had to pretend they were real. It was just very boring. Nobody cares about that. But instead, what I decided to do was really inundate myself with pop culture and celebrities, right? Because I noticed something, a pattern, if you will. I noticed a pattern that celebrities would constantly get themselves in trouble. And when they did, there was no specializing celebrity detective to help them solve those mysteries. So I saw a niche, and since my name is kind of like niche, it's Nick. Since I saw a niche, I figured I would fill it. And so that's what got me to that. I mean, that and my impeccable instrument playing. But aside from that, that's a whole nother pod. Do you have any musical podcasts on this network? Because I'll tell you what, I'll blow you away.
Well, Nick, we'll get you back for a musical one. What instrument do you play?
Perfect. You know, the harp's a string.
The harp's a string. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I also play bangies. You know, bangies, you sit on them and you have two sticks and you just bang on them all day long.
I am familiar with bangies. Also a drum player myself, as we like to call them.
A drum?
Yes.
Sure. We can call it that too if you want, Craig. That's fine. I mean, I'm the professional here, but whatever you say, it's your show.
Correct. And definitely not to correct you at this point in the show, but just as a reminder, my name is Iggy with Project Nerd.
Sure. Perfect. Iggy. Right. Got it.
Yes. Thank you.
I swear I knew that. I'm a detective.
Awesome. So what I want to go specifically to your most famous case, of course, as we mentioned earlier, the horoscope killer. And you mentioned that you were able to smell the ink he used.
I was. Yes.
What was different about his ink compared to, say, ink I used on the letter to invite you on this podcast?
He used to defecate into the ink prior to writing the letters. So I don't know if you know this, but poo, for the layman's, has a very distinct smell. So when you are mixing that sort of ingredient in with ink, it really only led me to one. Well, it led me to a couple places, but only one that turned out to be correct.
Okay. And that place was?
Western Arizona.
Okay. Western Arizona. That's where he was, or is that where the ink was created?
No, that's where
defecated.
Yes. Well, it led me to a truck stop in Western Arizona because I remember when I was driving cross country on one of my many famous celebrity cases, I stopped at a truck stop and I remember smelling a very pungent bouquet in the men's restroom there. And it reminded me somewhat of the defecation that I was smelling in the ink. So I went there. Turns out it led nowhere. But instead, I went to Moonrise Bay, right? Everybody's familiar with Moonrise Bay. You know where Moonrise Bay is. I know where Moonrise Bay is. So I'm not going to have to tell you.
California, if I'm not mistaken.
Sure, that's probably correct. So Moonrise Bay is actually where this killer who actually happened to be named Charles lived.
That's
so just like that, I smelled the bathroom, it reminded me, and bada bing bada boom, yeah, that's how you catch a killer.
That's how you catch a killer. Awesome. So obviously the horoscope killer being your most famous, but
yes,
you've solved a number of cases, haven't you? Do you remember the number, or is it too many to recall?
No. I definitely remember 786 cases, to be exact. Can I ask you a question? Are you familiar with Bruno Mars?
I have heard of him. I believe he's an actor. Is that right?
He's a musician, but close enough. Yeah. Oh, that's a fellow musician, yeah. Much like myself.
What instruments does he play?
He plays the mouth phone.
Okay.
It's the thing where you put it in your mouth and you just blow on it and it goes, you know, back and forth. A mouthophone.
Mouthophone.
Yeah. But I helped him solve the case of his missing pet chihuahua.
His pet chihuahua. Was that your most memorable or your favorite of the cases? Or was
no,
that just one?
That's just one I thought you'd be impressed with.
Awesome.
So I helped him find his chihuahua. Turns out it was vacationing in the Poconos.
Vacationing?
Chihuahuas, yes.
By itself?
Well, he's a celebrity, Stan. That's what he does, you know. His dog has a very busy agenda. He travels around the country with Bruno on these concerts. And every once in a while, you just need a nice getaway.
It's very fair. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, chihuahuas, while fascinating animals, are not nearly as fascinating as my personal favorite animal, the parakeet. Are you familiar with a parakeet? You know what that is?
I am slightly familiar with the parakeet, but why don't you give our listeners a little background on this fascinating animal?
Well, a parakeet is probably the smartest animal in the animal kingdom. As everyone knows, it is a marsupial. Therefore, that means that it lays eggs in a pouch that it carries until its children are about 27 years old. Now, when the tiny eggling reaches 27 years old, it hatches and murders its parent and then proceeds to continue raising more marsupial bird babies.
Well, that is fascinating. I did not know that much detail about parakeets.
Now, I wouldn't expect you to. I am a pretty smart individual.
Is it true that you actually own 23 and three quarters parakeets?
I do. The three quarters was an unfortunate accident. One time I was hoverboarding around my apartment and a little parakeet had landed on the floor and I ran over his bottom half. So yeah, he's fine. I made him a little tiny wheelchair. Have you ever seen those little cheese wheels? They're like Swiss cheese and they come in the wax wrapper. I made him an amazing little chair out of those. And he just wheels himself around the apartment.
That is fascinating. So you mentioned your childhood was very normal. But from everything I'm hearing, it sounds like your adult life has not been. Helping Bruno Mars solving the horoscope killer. And of course, being a parakeet wizard, I guess would be a way to put it, as well as you like to dazzle in the musical arts. What else would our listeners love to learn about you before we head back into the deep dive of your detective career?
Sure. Well, let's see. I mean, I'm not going to say that I am a professional level singer aside from my instrument playing, but I dabble here and there. So that's probably something that the normies would like to know. I sing occasionally to my parakeets, mostly. They sing back. Very smart.
Yes. Would you like to sing anything for us or is...
I mean, you're really putting me on the spot here, Stanley.
Okay. We can... let's come back around
to
that.
No, it's fine. I will. Okay. Hello. Okay. Good morning, parakeets. You're my favorite, Charles. You're my number one. I named him after the horoscope killer. Charles, you're my number one parakeet.
Beautiful. That will probably be the intro music for our podcast going forward.
I hope so, but I will have to charge you. So I'll send you a contract afterwards when we're done.
That sounds great. Perfect. Be picky about the ink you use. All right.
Perfect. No defecation ink, I swear. I'm not a horoscope killer.
as a self-inspiring musical artist, tell us, who are maybe some of your idols in that realm?
If I had to like rank them, like let's say I was going to give you like a 1 through 5 of my favorite musical artists, I would say Count Basie would be number one. Just because he's fantastic, you know, I don't have to explain it to you. You're smart. Then number two would probably be country group Sugarland. They're fantastic. Right under Count Basie. Number three would probably be CeeLo Green. CeeLo Green's amazing rapper. He used to be part of the Goody Mob. Helped them solve a mystery one time. They couldn't find out where their goodies went. I found them for them. Hilarious. Then that was a little humor for you, a little professional detective humor. Let's see. Number two would probably be Elon Musk. And number one would probably be Weird Al.
Okay. That sounds like a collective list there. I'm surprised you didn't say Freddie Mercury. I feel like that would be somebody you would be interested in.
Is it because of my facial deformity?
No, I was not going to say
that. Are you making a joke?
No.
It doesn't take a detective to see that you're being a rude interviewer.
I'm sorry, Nick, to have offended you. Simply, I had collected my assistant, who is... now fired, is collected Perfect. Some notes, and as my understanding,
I smell pink slips.
Awesome. Well, not to fall too far off course here about my assistant. Let's talk about your famous detective career.
And absolutely. So I mean, it's fine if I interrupt you. I'm sure that's okay. So people know famous detective names, Poirot, right? Agatha Christie, other real detectives. People know these. They're very familiar with them. All of them, amateurs. Garbage.
Me, garbage.
Number one. I've spent my entire life only dealing with celebrities. I have a very high-profile clientele. Many of them I can't tell you, but I'd be happy to tell you off air if you like. Many of them know me very well. I get into the best clubs and restaurants. But mostly, they're all amazed that I don't need clues. I don't need facts. I don't need suspects. I really just need my good old sense of smell. You see, when I was a kid, I learned to hone my sense of smell. Much like a blind child learns to have better hearing, I don't know if you've noticed, but I have a bit of a lisp. Don't tell anybody, but it's very, I like to keep it under wraps. But as a child, I had a pretty severe lisp. And as you could imagine, I compensated that with my sense of smell. So I would do smell exercises every day. I would come home and I would have all of my very real, non-imaginary brothers and sisters bring out all of their dirty clothes. They would lay them out on the floor before me. And then I would blindfold myself and I would lean down and I would smell all of their clothes individually. And I would be able to tell them exactly what they ate that day for lunch at school.
That is pretty impressive. And that led you into leaving the small town of DiCaprio, Wyoming, and setting up your first ever detective shop in the most famous park of Jellystone National Park.
Listen, and, Thomas, I hate to correct you, but it's actually pronounced Sicaprio.
Oh, sorry. Sicaprio, Wyoming.
It's fine. It's okay. Embarrassing mistake, but it's fine.
Thank you. Once again, my assistant will make note of that.
And, that's okay. Totally fine.
Proved unsuccessful while your time was in Jellystone, which led you to the Detective Corporation of North America, serving under Nicodemus.
Oh, yes.
Tell us about your time with the DCNA.
Old Nico, as I like to call him. So here's the deal. Nicodemus was spelled with an I, right? And my name, Nick, is spelled with a Y. So as you could imagine, there was immediately like a rift between us. We really, you know, he was my boss, and I respect that. He was my supervisor. He was fairly brilliant. But ultimately, he had a real issue with the way that I spelled my name. So that started us off on the wrong foot. But he was the real one to give me my very first break, my very first celebrity profile case. That's how I broke into doing celebrity cases. Do you know who John Stamos is?
I am familiar with John Stamos, yes.
He was on a house. He was in a house. It was a full one. But... Sorry, I had something in my throat. Let me sip my orange juice. Hold on one second.
So the infamous case of John Stamos.
Yeah, so John Stamos. Do you know who Rebecca Romaine Stamos is?
Vaguely familiar. I don't think she got that famous, though.
Yeah, she didn't. She was mainly famous for being a blue naked person in a series of movies. But, see, the problem is John Stamos was trying to figure out what killed his marriage, right? There was a murder, and it was of their romance. So he brought me in. He brought me in, and my nose led me to the real culprit, and that was the fact that John Stamos, surprisingly, only showers every 4 days.
Oh.
And let's be honest, if you're his wife, that's unacceptable, right?
That is completely unacceptable.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, yes. So Nicodemus brought you in for the,
yes,
the Fuller Stamos House case. The Stamos, yes. Full House case,
yes. I like to call it the Stankos case.
The Stankos,
John,
yes.
Stankos.
Which you solved in record time. I believe it was the matter you solved in 3.7 seconds, if I remember correctly.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. As soon as you walk into the Stamos house, I knew that John hadn't showered in 4 days. And I said, right then and there, John, Stamey, as I called him, Stamey, you bit stank. When is the last time you showered, good sir? And he said, oh, it's been about 4 or 5 days. And I said, well, there it is. Case solved. Rebecca Romaine left you because you don't shower enough. And he said, oh, my God, you're right. I didn't even think about it. And then we became best friends and, you know.
Incredibly impressive. Incredibly impressive. Your time with the DCNA came to a bitter end with the case of solving the kidnapping of Matthew McConaughey's grandmother. Yes. Nicodemus and you seemed to be at odds on that. And when you found the kidnapper before he did, it sounded like your time at DCNA ended abruptly.
It did. I had asked your assistant not to bring this up in the interview. That was something that but it's very sensitive. It turns out that Matthew McConaughey doesn't have a grandmother. So I really screwed that one up. There is some weird like time issues. What's that saying that he used to say all the time? Oh yes, time is a flat circle. It's true. Time is a flat circle, and it turns out it's hard to find people on flat time. You need round time to do that. So that makes perfectly logical sense. Don't fact check it. I'm sure that's accurate.
Well, it sounded like when you solved that case, you did an all right, an all right job. And that left Nicodemus pretty upset with you. And after you parted ways is when you seemed to really take off and shine, though.
That's true. Well, that's when I realized. So after dealing with that case, I realized that my true calling was the celebrity case world. I realized that I myself, in a way, am a celebrity. I'm a celebrity detective, if you will. So I decided to strike out on my own and become a celebrity detective. So I started hanging around all the, you know, celebrity spots in Los Angeles and New York. And my Matthew McConaughey's non-existent grandmother case had garnered me a lot of acclaim in celebrity circles. So things kind of took off from there. So, but true story, I was interviewing Kanye West for a case that Kris Jenner had hired me for. And Kris Jenner was curious as to what the cologne that Kanye had been wearing when he married Kim Kardashian, right? And so Kris Jenner hired me to solve the mystery of the wedding cologne. Pretty high profile. And I went over, I interviewed Kanye. He had his little MAGA hat on. And I said, Kanye, this smells oddly like John Stamos. Turns out, John Stamos, from my previous case, solving the death of his marriage, had started bottling his musk. And it took off in celebrity circles. So some may say I am responsible for John Stankos cologne, which exists. It's a real thing. Look it up on Amazon.
And therefore responsible for the union of Kanye West and Kim Kardashian as well.
I am in, well, and the acceptance of Kris Jenner to the Kanye West, Kim Kardashian relationship.
Right. So, yeah. And remind me again, what was that staggering number of cases you had solved? I seem to have blanked on that.
The real number was 786, I do believe. That's what I said earlier.
Yes.
Shouldn't check that.
So out of your 786 cases, do you feel any were the most, they were the most emotional? They brought, maybe brought a tear to your face or, made you rethink life as a whole.
Yes, as a matter of fact, it didn't just bring a tear to my face. It brought a tear to both of my eyes, which is where my tears come from. yes, there was a very emotional case that I had dealt with fairly early on in my career. It was the mystery of the mystery of Tori Spelling. Are you familiar with Tori Spelling?
Very familiar with Tori Spelling.
Perfect. Do you remember she was on this little show? I don't know if anybody watched it. It was called 90210.
Yes, I believe I heard of that as well.
So her mystery was I had to solve what happened to her career. Turns out it died. Oh, but that's sad. Really, that's sad. She's in a very sad place right now.
So your time as a detective has led you to the real reason you're here, to talk about your new novel, which focused on a very specific case, which was the disappearing of Patricia Arquette's parrot.
That's true.
Which, for some reason, became your most complicated case and led you to write this, 4,700-page novel about the case, which, obviously, available next Tuesday in stores everywhere.
And, thank you for that plug. I sincerely appreciate that, Charles.
To Catch a Parrot Thief. Tell us a little bit about...
That's actually the name of the book, To Catch a Parrot Thief.
Yes, that's what I was saying. Yes, To Catch a Parrot Thief. Tell us a little bit about why this case was so difficult and how it led you to basically write 4,700 pages about it.
Yeah, no problem. That's a lot of pages. I don't know if you know this or not, but that's quite a bit. You have to be a pretty dedicated detective to find enough information to fill that many pages. Well, let's kind of start at the beginning, I suppose. You're familiar with the Arquettes, of course. Very famous family. So Patricia gave me a phone call one day. She said she had found my business card in a local subway and that she had a beloved parakeet that had gone missing. Oh, did I say parakeet?
He said parakeet, yes. Those are your favorite ones.
You know, don't mind that. It was definitely a parrot, 100% a parrot, and I absolutely do not have Patricia Arquette's parakeet at my apartment. So don't send anybody to look over there. It's totally fine. No worries. So anyway, parrot. Patricia Arquette called me about her parrot, her beloved parrot, Stanley. And her beloved parrot, Stanley, she had recently got on a trip to Costa Rica with Arnold Schwarzenegger. So a lot of people don't know that they're friends, but they are. I know this because I'm a celebrity insider, as you can imagine, because I'm a very famous detective who has very famous friends. But that being said, it was a trip to Costa Rica with Arnold Schwarzenegger. And he, as a token of their friendship, because they're best friends, they met on the Terminator, I'm not sure why, but they did. And so he had bought her this this parrot, Stanley. And the last time that she had seen it, she was taking it out for her daily walk with the parrot. She had an adorable little harness that she had fastened for it, and she would just let it fly right above her head. And there was, she was going up Runyon Canyon. And when that was happening, Kevin Smith was running down Runyon Canyon, and they collided. And when they collided, oh, she let go of the harness, and the bird just flew into the air, right? And as you can imagine, she was devastated. Like, very sad. And so began my quest to find this bird. And I don't know if you know this, but it's very hard to track a parrot using only your sense of smell. Little known fact, parrots have zero scent.
Zero. I did not know that. But I do just, I have to jump in here real quick.
Yeah, sure.
Is my understanding the parrot was kidnapped. Are you meaning to tell me that it just, it fled on its own?
Well, see, there's more to the story than meets the eye.
Okay.
As you know, Kevin Smith has a very good partner named Jason Mewes, right? Turns out the two of those were in cahoots. They were jealous of Patricia Arquette's parrot, and they had planned to kidnap this bird. So what appeared to be a very innocent run-in in Runyon Canyon, a run-in in Runyon Canyon, that should be the name of the novel sequel. I'm writing that down. Hold on. Thomas, make a note. Whatever your name is, I don't care. Tony? No? Oh, William. I'm sorry, William. You've been my assistant for a long time. I do appreciate your company. But if you'd please make a note for me, a run-in in Runyon Canyon. No, did I say cannon? I meant canyon. This orange juice has me silly. Yes, okay. Thank you, Wesley. I appreciate it. Excellent. Wonderful. Okay,
sounds like the orange juice has your lisp going in out there a little bit. I don't know.
I don't know what you mean by any. I don't understand. Anyway, to continue my story. So it turns out Jason Mewes and Kevin Smith were in cahoots. They were colluding to steal this parrot from Patricia Arquette. I don't want to give away too much more because that is what fills the 4,786 pages of my book, which you can buy available this Tuesday.
Awesome. Well, Detective Nick Makadesic?
Makadesic.
Greatly appreciate your time on this episode of Podcast Unreal.
I appreciate you, Tony. This is wonderful. This has been a fantastic experience.
Iggy, but Tony will do.
Iggy Azalea. She's another great customer of mine. Yes. We've done many cases together. She also helps out occasionally. Just little known fact, Iggy Azalea, aspiring nose detective.
Well, unfortunately, that is all the time we have for this episode. But as mentioned, you can pick up his book, How to Catch a Parrot Thief, in stores everywhere next Tuesday.
And I guess now soon its sequel, Runyon Canyon.
Yes. Well, Detective, we appreciate your time greatly.
I appreciate this. And if I may speak to all of the celebrities out there that are listening to this podcast, if you have any cases, you can feel free to contact my assistant, William or Wharton, something like that, online at www.yousmellitwefindit.com.
Thank you very much. So our interview concluded at that point, although we had recorded an bunch of additional time with the famous detective. Unfortunately, with our time shortened, we were unable to cover the many other stories he shared with us, including a number of other high-profile cases, a few that were retracted due to non-disclosure agreements, and a few that had celebrities ask not to be involved. One Mr. B. Affleck, as well as one involving one M. Damon. So, for more on Detective Makadesic, please pick up his book in stores everywhere Tuesday and visit the website he shared that I have already forgotten. And that is all. for this episode of Podcast Unreal.